Let's talk to God once more in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we cannot fully understand your love in sending Jesus to be our Saviour. Your love, Lord Jesus, in coming into this world. People should have honoured you. People should have been full of wonder at who you are. But instead, oh Lord, instead, they crucified you. They killed you on that cross. But you were willing to go through that horrible death, not because you deserved it, but because your people deserved it. And you wanted to rescue your people, to rescue them from sin, to rescue from a forever punishment in hell. And we thank you that though you died, you didn't stay dead, but that your Father brought you back to life and showed by that that the penalty was paid for all who believe in you. We thank you that you said to your followers to go and tell the news around the world, calling people to turn from their sin, the wrong in their lives, and to trust you for forgiveness. We thank you that that continues in our day. For you want people to be brought back to you, to know your forever love, your forever forgiveness. We thank you for the world that we live in. There are so many things that excite us to look at, to do, people to know. But we know it's not a perfect world anymore because of sin. And our friendships often hurt, and we often hurt those that we love. But it's with you that we find a perfect love. It's from you that we find one who cares for us in a way that is unlike any other. We have learned to trust you. We have learnt to follow you, to obey you, to live, to honour you. All this because of Jesus and what he did for us. You have changed us. And you are changing people today as they hear this message about your Son, about Jesus. And we pray that many more will yet come to believe. And enter into that joy, know that hope and that peace that Jesus brought for his people through the cross. We thank you that he is alive, and today Christians around the world are celebrating that he is risen, that he is the conqueror of death. He's the one who brings to end the trouble of sin in people's lives. We pray, O Father, that you will help us to think about that today. The great cost for Jesus, he had to die to do it. For you say in your word that the wages, the payment of sin, what we earn by doing wrong and having wrong thoughts and treating people, but especially you, the wrong way, is death. That you are a pure God, that we cannot make ourselves pure, but we thank you that Jesus can do that which we cannot do. We thank you that you're there to help us through the difficulties, the troubles of life. We pray for one another that you will be our helper. We pray for those who are sick, that you will make them feel better. Those who are sorrowing, that they will find an end to their sorrow. Those who are lonely will know the joy of companionship, friendship, but especially know the joy that you are with them and love them. We think of those who are dying, that they might die in the peace that Jesus gives. We pray for those near, those far away, whose lives perhaps we can't touch, but you can, and pray that you will. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And we also ask that you would teach us from the Word. Help us to understand the story that Jesus used to help his friends to understand his death and why it was so important for them, for us. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name too. Amen. This year in Easy English Church, we're looking in a special way at some of the teaching of Jesus. Jesus often, in his teaching, used stories. Sometimes the stories were long stories. But tonight we're going to look at a very small story that Jesus used to help people to understand the things that they needed to know from God. We're going to think about what we read in our reading from the Gospel of John, the good news that John tells in that part of the Bible, the story of the seed that had to die for life to come. But before we look at that, one thing we know is that around this country and many other countries, there are many cemeteries. People die. Our family, our friends may be amongst some of those that we know. We've laid their bodies in the ground or they have been cremated. When people die, their bodies stay in the ground. So everyone knows that the bones of Confucius, for instance, are in China. In a sense, the bones of Buddha, though of course he was cremated, but his ashes were scattered in India. People know that Muhammad's remains, his body, is in Medina. Karl Marx's body is in London, a cemetery in Highgate in London. Jim Morrison, and I'm showing my age a little bit, he was a rock star in the 60s, the lead singer and founding member of the Doors. He was the philosopher of the rock generation and basically said that the way to experience life was to be out of your mind on drugs or thoughts. Do the weird things, the crazy things to really know life. His body's still there in a cemetery in Paris. Only in Jerusalem is there an empty tomb. And that's what we remember as Christians on Easter Sunday. A body was laid there. Someone had died and their body was put in that grave. That someone was Jesus. But on the Sunday morning, on the third day after his death, the tomb became empty. Not because people stole the body, but because he came back to life in a special way, never to die again. None of the other religious leaders in the world, none of the great teachers and philosophers across time have been able to do that. Whatever truth they may have known, they did not come back from the dead. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. There were witnesses to this, but there were also witnesses that on the third day, Jesus came back to life. That, as I said, is the message of Easter Sunday. Elsewhere in the Bible, we read that Jesus, in that act, destroyed death. That he brought life and immortality, you know, the never-ending reality to light through the gospel. That not just the soul, but the body can live forever. Christians are people who believe that. Christians are people who believe that because they believe it's true of Jesus. And Jesus shares that with all who believe in him. We trust him for the forgiveness of all that is wrong in our heart and shown in our lives for our sin. We believe that because of his death for sin and his being raised on the third day, that we can have peace with God and that we will live with him forever as his people. But you know, the disciples of Jesus, these friends of Jesus that were with him while Jesus was teaching, people, they did not always understand this. They knew that Jesus was different. There was no teacher like him. The things that he understood, the things that he said, the things that he did, the way that he cared for people, they knew there was something special about Jesus. They even believed he was God's son, the servant king that God said he would send into the world to bring people, many people, back to God, into God's kingdom, changing them, changing their lives. But they didn't understand how he would do this. They did not believe that his death was so important that it was the only way for Jesus to change people and bring people back to God. And here we find in our reading from the Bible, Jesus telling them again, explaining why it's so important for them and for us today. In verse 24, Jesus says, "I am telling you what is true. The seed of wheat continues to be only a single seed unless it falls into the ground. It must fall into the ground and then it must die. If it dies like that, it will grow to give a lot of seeds." What we learn from that, first of all, is that Jesus knew he was soon to die. His death was near. They had recently, Jesus and his disciples had recently come into Jerusalem. It was a time of great excitement. The people thought the king that God has promised has come. People were cheering Jesus. They were honoring him. They were laying out their coats onto the ground so that the donkey that was carrying him could walk. They were waving palm branches. They were looking to him as the one who would be their king, who would deliver them from Rome. The king who would rule them. The king whom all the world would bow before. And that he would rule that world with love and wisdom by the truth of God's word. It was an exciting time. And one can imagine how the disciples, his friends, were excited too. The future looked so bright. This is surely life at its best. The promise was about to be fulfilled and they were at the very center of it. Don't we read that even some Greek people who came to Jerusalem for that festival, at that time of year, the Passover, that they wanted to see Jesus? And they came to two of the friends of Jesus. Philip is named to say, can you take us to Jesus? Can we see Jesus? We want an audience with Jesus. How exciting that must have felt for Philip and for the other disciples. The whole world is interested in our friend. They're beginning to see that he is the true king of the world. But Jesus had a different idea, as he tells his disciples. It's not the picture of Jesus coming onto a throne and everyone bowing before him. It's not a picture of people coming to him as the Queen of Sheba did to King Solomon and said, you are so wise. You are so powerful. Your people are really lucky. No. This is what Jesus told his disciples. It's what I read just before. Read it again with me in your notes. I am telling you what is true. A seed of wheat continues to be only a single seed unless it falls into the ground. It must fall into the ground and then it must die. If it dies like that, it will grow to give a lot of seeds. You see, Jesus knew that he was going to die. It was not only near, soon to be, it was also necessary. And he's using this story, this picture of the planted seed and the harvest that comes to help them to understand that. Jesus knew that the people in his day knew that seeds were not really dead. But they also knew that if the seed is not buried in the soil, it will not produce new life. They knew that there was a hidden life in the seed, but unless it is buried in the ground, unless it, as the scientist calls it, germinates, that life will not come out. There won't be that little green shoot that grows out of the soil, and it won't keep growing as the roots grow down until it reaches the full plant and then begins to flower and new seeds begin to form. It has to go in the ground first. And that's why I chose that picture on the front. It's a picture of a seed falling into the ground. And then, stage by stage, the plant growing. It has to go into the ground. It has to, in that sense, says Jesus, die. It has to lose its life to produce this new life. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's the key point he is making. Earlier this year, our brother Ben spoke about this in Jesus' story about the sower who scattered seed, and some of the seed fell upon footpaths where you walk. It couldn't grow there. Other seed fell in an area that were, just choked it. The seed that was able to give life to and a harvest producing more seed was the seed that fell in the good soil. It had to be buried in the ground so that the life it promised could come out into reality. In that story, Jesus was talking about the Bible, how the teaching of the Bible, the teaching about Jesus needs to come into the soil of our heart, the soil of our thinking, the soil of our love, so that it will begin to change us. But here Jesus is not talking about the truth, he's talking about himself. He says that his death, when he died upon the cross, is like sowing a seed. It looks as if the seed is being destroyed. But really, this is the cause of many seeds. a very great increase in the number of seeds. Jesus is saying he's like the seed, and like the seed, he needs to be buried, which means he says, I have to die. But by dying, he says, I will bring new life to the world. But as there is life in him, so now through his death and coming back to life on the third day, others will enter into that same life. His death was necessary to multiply his life into many people. Now Jesus knew what this meant for him, that it would not be easy to die. It's a very painful thing to die upon the cross. But you notice what else Jesus said at that time to his disciples. Let me read to you from verse 27. Now I have trouble in my mind. Jesus was troubled. Death was not an easy thing for Jesus any more than it is for us to think about. Then he adds, what shall I say? I might say, Father, save me from this trouble, because surely God the Father could protect his son, keep him from dying. But then Jesus said, but this difficult time is the purpose for which I came into the world. So I will say, Father, show how great and how good you are. Yes, it was going to be hard for Jesus to die. It troubled him. But he knew that the only way people like you and I could break away from sin and the power of death to enter into his life and to share his life, a life of peace with God, a life forever with God, he had to die. He had to take away what was wrong. He had to make things right between us and God. And that shows how good Jesus is, but also how good his Father is, and how deeply they love us to go to that length to make us his friends. Jesus knew that his death was the only way for people to know life. A life of forgiveness, a never-ending life of friendship with God, his Father. But how do we know that Jesus' death produces life? The answer is what happened on the Sunday morning, which we remember today in a special way, that the tomb was empty. As I said, after he died, his body was laid in a tomb, which was a grave cut in the side of a hill. A rock grave, if you like. It was sealed then with a heavy stone that would be very hard to move away. But on the morning of the third day, an angel came and tossed that stone away. Not to let Jesus out, but to show that Jesus was no longer there. He had already overcome death. He had already escaped the grave. The tomb was empty. The angel told the women who had come to the burial place early that morning that Jesus was not there because he was alive. A little later, one of those women, whose name was Mary, she actually met Jesus and was talking with Jesus. That evening, Jesus came into the room where his friends were hiding because they were afraid. You see, they were afraid that just as Jesus had been taken and killed, that they would be next, that they would also be taken and killed. They did not expect to meet Jesus again in this life. But that is what happened. He showed them that he was not a dream, that he was not a ghost. He ate food and had a drink with them. He talked with them. And then he left them. Jesus appeared many more times over the next 40 days. Paul who became a friend of Jesus much later, wrote these words in his first letter to the church at Corinth in the 15th, what we call the 15th chapter, towards the end of the letter. He said, "I received the good news from Christ and I told that message to you. I told you the most important thing, that Christ died to save us. As a result, God forgives us for the wrong things that we have done." The Bible already told us that Christ would do this. "I told you that people buried his body, but on the third day after that, God raised him to live again." The Bible already told us about that too. "After that, Christ appeared to Peter. Then later he appeared to his 12 special workers that he sent to tell the good news. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 believers at the same time. Most of the 500 people are still alive, but some of them have died. Then Christ appeared to James. Later he appeared to all the special workers that he had sent to tell the good news. After all these people had seen him, Christ appeared to me also. I was like someone who was born at the wrong time." What Paul was saying there is that he did not follow Jesus. In fact, Paul became a hater of anything to do with Jesus. And yet, Jesus even appeared to him, even while he was trying to hunt down Christians, to stop people from believing and talking about Jesus, that Jesus was alive. What Paul is saying here is that all these followers were so sure that Jesus was alive. They had become changed people. Instead of being afraid, they were full of courage. They would not stop telling about Jesus' death and resurrection, even though threatened with hurt, and even when some were killed. They were willing to die for what they knew to be true, to be real. They knew that he was alive, really alive. And they knew what it was for themselves as a result to be alive, to have a life that even death cannot take away. They remembered the words that Jesus taught, "I have come so that they can have true life and that they may have it to the full." Jesus said, "I have authority over death. I raise dead people and I give people true life. Anyone who believes in me will live. Even if that person dies, he will continue to live. People who live because they believe in me," said Jesus, "will never die." And he asks this question, "Do you believe that?" This is the great message of Easter. This is the message that Christians have believed and keep speaking about, wanting other people to understand that Jesus alone can give us a new life that will never fade, never disappear. That he is the source of eternal life for millions of people who believe in him. At the cross, Jesus took the punishment for wrong we deserve so that we don't have to. His death wipes out our debt to God, and it opens the fountain of forgiveness. His death produces the seed of new life, eternal life. And he's wanting to plant it in your life. He alone can give that new life that can never fade. What this means is that to believe in Jesus is believing that Jesus died upon the cross for my sin. Believing that he rose again from the dead because he has paid the penalty of my sin. It means telling God that I am sorry for my sin and asking him to forgive me, not because I'm better than I was or better than someone else, that I'm a good person, no, but because of Jesus in what he did for me. It's to ask God, forgive me for Jesus' sake, for his honour. And the promise of the Bible is that anyone who believes in Jesus in this way, do you understand this? If you believe in Jesus in this way, God will forgive you. And you will know the forever life and love of God as Father, of Jesus as friend. Even death can't take that away. It's the promise given to all people everywhere, to every one of us, as it calls us to believe. Let's talk to God as we think about this. Let us pray. We thank you for this word, but above all, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that using this simple little story, that Jesus is showing us that by his death, life comes to all who believe in him. We thank you for the promise that brings to us tonight. Help us to know Jesus in that way. Help us to sing praise to you because of Jesus. Change and turn our lives so that who Jesus is, the goodness of Jesus and the love of Jesus will be seen and heard in our lives as well. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this day when we remember and hear again, or perhaps for the first time, this wonderful truth and promise. We thank you for Jesus. Amen.